Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. Last night's Oscars ceremony was a glitzy event, with big-budget blockbusters like Black Panther and Bohemian Rhapsody taking home some of the top awards. But one of the big winners from the night was a black-and-white Spanish-language film set in 1970s Mexico City, Roma. The movie won Best Director, Best Cinematography, and Best Foreign Language Film. Its star, 25-year-old Yalitza Aparicio, had no prior acting experience, and yet she was nominated for Best Actress. Aparicio did not take home the Oscar last night, but in a column last week about the film, Boston Globe editorial writer Marcela Garcia wrote that just by being nominated, she's, quote, already won. Marcela Garcia joins me now to discuss Roma's significance and the stereotypes it exposes. Marcela, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. And so for listeners who haven't seen the film, it stars Aparicio as a live-in domestic worker named Cleo. She takes care of an affluent couple's four children and does all the hard work of running a household. And there aren't many movies about characters like Cleo. I mean, there's The Help from 2011, which earned a Best Actress nomination for Viola Davis. But the list is short, Marcela. And so is that what you mean by Aparicio being a winner even without getting the trophy?
Yes. I mean, I guess I meant it in that general way that, you know, that this film gives voice to an invisible class of people, the help, domestic workers, people who are there to serve others, right? But in another way, I also meant it in another way, in the sense that her sort of elevation, I mean, you have to understand a little bit of the context. Yalitza Aparicio had never acted before. She is an indigenous person from Oaxaca, a state in Mexico, south, you know, of Mexico City. And, you know, she was a teacher and she was sort of catapulted into success into this role. And then she was nominated for an Oscar. And this whole sort of elevation and her success, her sudden success, caused a lot of rift and drama in Mexico. And my point really was, in very, very general, simplified terms, is that her nomination was in and of itself a win because she helped expose, her success helped expose a lot of undealt racism in Mexico. We haven't really, you know, reckoned with the high level of racism that exists in Mexico toward indigenous people.
Well, so help us understand that rift then, Marcela, because you describe kind of a caste system in your piece for the Boston Globe. And I think that from an American perspective, we can sometimes think of Mexico as a whole monolith kind of, and we maybe assume that the whole country would be celebrating her success. I take it from what you've found, that's not actually the case.
Right. I mean, I'm originally from Mexico. I grew up, I was born there and I grew up there. I didn't move here until almost 20 years ago, until I was already graduated from college. But basically, you know, there is a small population of indigenous people, like truly, truly indigenous. The vast majority of the country is of mixed race, mestizos. But there are still a lot of color, like, you know, white, there are what we call white Mexicans, right? People whose, you know, ancestors were more related to the Spanish colonialist, correct? And then there, as you move south throughout the country, you find that there are more people, you know, who have more indigenous blood. And so you can see that in the features. You can see they look more indigenous. And so my whole view is based on, you know, these two basically, you know, very different realities for these two classes of people. Mexican society is very classist, and the privileged, the power, you know, the rich are mostly these white Mexicans whose ancestors were, you know, are directly related to, you know, the Spanish conquistadores, right? So again, color is very much still, you know, seen in Mexico as this sort of binary, you know, notion and a lot of racism. I mean, to the point that there really isn't racism and classism is so, so prevalent that people don't even see it as such. It's so normalized that there aren't taboos. You know, there's no like, oh, you can't say that because of, you know, because it's offensive and wrong or racist. People, everything flies, basically.
Marcela, you wrote too also about how your personal narrative sort of parallels Cleo's in a little bit. You said that when you first arrived in the States in Boston about 20 years ago, you also worked as a live-in domestic worker. So how do what you see on the screen there conjure up memories from your own experience?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why I connected so much with the film, because it immediately brought back memories to the time when I first moved here. I was working as a live-in nanny for a family in the suburbs here of Boston. And, you know, I never really meant to imply that the two experiences are comparable. You know, it's very different to be a domestic worker here than to be a domestic worker in Mexico. Granted, both sort of positions or jobs are very much subject to abuse and exploitation, but there are different levels. I mean, just now, actually in December, there was a law that was passed to protect domestic workers in a very, very, very basic way in Mexico. Whereas here, you have laws. Here in Massachusetts, we have a domestic worker law that guarantees that domestic workers have basic rights. And in Mexico, that didn't exist until December. So I didn't really mean to imply that those two experiences are comparable, but I did draw a parallel again because I thought about my own experience being a domestic worker, what it means to care for or to look after children who are not your own. And again, in Mexico, typically domestic workers, you know, who are almost always from an indigenous background or for a poor background, you know, that becomes your life. That becomes your job forever. You know, you're part of the family. You exist almost solely in purpose of being in servitude of this family. And of course, that's not the case here. But still, there is still a lot of you know, it just brought back a lot of memories, and I wanted to include some of that experience because that's what the movie made me feel. And that's, I think, why the movie is so powerful. It touches on many, many different themes. And to me, that was one that totally resonated. And it made me think of the toddler that I care for. I looked after many kids, but the first one was the one that I remember the most because I stayed with him for 2.5 years. I basically helped potty train him, which I've never done in my life, and I consider quite an achievement.
I'm in the throes of that right now, Marcella, and it's not going well. That's really, thank you.
It's really, really hard.
I want to help. I hope you can just break down one scene for me in the movie that really stands out. And this will be kind of a flavor of it for folks who perhaps haven't seen it. This is when the father in the family, Antonio, so he's a doctor, and he's leaving for an extended business trip to Canada. He's packing up the car, and he steps on dog poop in the garage. The poor family dog is constantly pooping in the garage because no one takes the poor thing for a walk. So anyway, Antonio's wife, Sophia, is clutching him tightly before he goes. She's visibly upset. He drives away anyway as a marching band happens to be coming down the street. And then this happens.
Con un carajo, Cleo, te dije que limpiaras las del perro. Yo te llevo al quinero. Vamos.
Adiós, Cleo.
Adiós.
So that's Sophia snapping at Cleo for not having cleaned up the dog poop. And Marcella, as a viewer, the scene leaves me with these conflicting emotions. I mean, on the one hand, I feel kind of badly for Sophia because she's clearly sad and lonely. We can hear her sniffling there on that clip. And then the next moment, I'm mad at her for taking it all out on Cleo. So why does that scene resonate with you?
It's a recurrent theme in the film. You know, we see this dog that constantly just relieves himself in the garage because he's, you know, absolutely neglected. He's never taken for a walk, like you say. And so I think that's one of the themes, that ultimately it is her job to pick up and wash away the dog's poop, right? But it also has a bigger resonance because that's basically the role. What I wrote is that, you know, that's what Black and brown people have been forced, the role that they've been forced to play with in this world. It's like they've been forced to deal with excrement all the time. And it's sort of like a metaphor for this, you know, sort of role in a classist society. And someone like Cleo, that's what she does. She has to deal with the dog's excrement, right? And I think it was a recurring theme. That was not the only scene in the movie where we see her dealing, you know, with the dog's excrement. It's sort of like always there. And I think it's a reminder that that's what she's there for, to deal with that.
Yeah, we see the physical dog poop and the metaphorical dog poop in scene
exactly.
after scene as well. Marcela Garcia, editorial writer for the Boston Globe, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
And for a link to Marcela's essay, you can visit our website, radioboston.org. That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, Eve Zukoff, and Walt Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. Espera un poco, un poquito más para llevarte mi felicidad. Espera un poquito más.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.